This is The Blueprint with Chris Phillips on Jazz FM. Listening colour.
We'll be right back. It's the Blueprint here on Jazz FM. I'm Chris Phillips, and I'm joined by Grammy-nominated Donny McCaslin is with me, and we've been featuring the album Beyond Now. Congratulations on the album number 11/12. Who counts anymore?
Thank you so much, Chris.
Big body of work. When I first got the opportunity to talk to you, I was slightly nervous, and I said to your publicist, "I said, is it okay to speak about David Bowie, because we spoke a lot about you being involved with David's last album, but it's inevitable for me to speak because this album is your own emotional tribute to David Bowie through your association being in his band. And does this emotion of losing David Bowie still resonate raw with you all these months on?
It does. I mean, it's you know how it is with grief. You know, it comes in waves, and we all process it in our own way. But especially as I reflect on his influence on me and the profound impact that working with him has had on my life and for everybody in the band, I think we all feel that way. So especially when we're all together and we talk about it, it certainly is emotional.
You've covered a couple of Bowie pieces on the album, Warsaw and A Small Plot of Land as well. Why those particular numbers?
Well, Warsaw came about in January. It had we were about to start a week-long run at the Village Vanguard in New York, and David had just passed, and we were talking about what would be an appropriate way to pay tribute to him. And Jason Lindner, our keyboard player, suggested the song, and we tried it at soundcheck and then played it basically on every set of every night that week. And as it was such a difficult time, it was that song in particular was something that we could just sort of channel all that through, or I personally could, and I was really, really grateful, you know, to have that opportunity, you know, to dial all that stuff into like a musical situation. And it's a great song, obviously. And A Small Plot of Land was the suggestion of Beyond Now's producer, David Binney, and we were just sending some ideas back and forth about tunes. And, you know, I hadn't been familiar with that record, and then as I was listening to that, I thought it would be a good fit because it's so open, you know. And in a way, the original version is, I feel like, more sort of avant-garde than what we do, which is more sort of this like electric. But again, just a really open song and something that we could kind of take in a lot of different directions, so it felt like it would be a good fit.
You come from a jazz family. Your father was a musician, and, you know, I suppose you started off with your jazz years, but as you've matured, you've listened to a lot of electronica and music, and it's clear that's your MO these days. Would that have helped you fit the aesthetic of everything you did with David and probably drew him into you?
Well, I think so. I mean, this is a bit of conjecture on my part, but I think the fact that we were a band that was involved in boundary-pushing music, I think that's maybe what attracted him to us. I know that he and Tony Visconti were looking to do some sort of jazz-type project, and one manifestation of that was the song that they did with Maria Schneider's orchestra, which I'm in, and that's what led him to us. Maria suggested to David that he check out my record, and it kind of went from there. So I think, yeah, in retrospect, and I remember, well, he came to hear us play at the 55 Bar, and
it's a tiny joint, isn't it?
It's tiny. It's so tiny. And I knew he was there, but I tried not to look. I looked over and I saw him and I said, all right. And I just tried to stay focused on the music, you know? But he, one thing I remember him saying about it, he was very complimentary. He said it was really loud, you know, and he was into that. And so, you know, this group, we do, you know, it's more of this, I describe it as the exploration of the intersection of improvisation and electronica music. So it is, you know, loud at times and very exploratory. And obviously, when you look at his career and you see how he was somebody who was just ahead of the curve, constantly, you know, reinventing himself. Amazing to me, you know, we were working together, he's 68 years old and just really pushing the envelope. And that's how I want to be when I'm 60. I mean, you know, I love that. And I think about, actually, I thought about Duke Ellington, that in that way that he was still writing new music and still, you know, not settling into a certain repertoire until the end.
So you and the band are going to be performing at London Jazz Festival on the 15th at Rich Mix. I urge you to get there early and listen to the support band as well called Skint. They've obviously placed you guys together. Perfect match. It's the full band, isn't it? You've got from the album.
Almost.
Pretty much.
Yeah, almost. The one exception is Tim LaFave won't be there, as he's in the Tedeschi Trucks band. And they're on the road, you know, 10 months out of the year or something. But Jonathan Marin from Groove Collective, who's been subbing for Tim, will be there. And, of course, Mark Giuliana on drums and Jason Linder on keyboards.
Okay, well, we played Shake Loose, and let's play the aforementioned Warsowa from the new album Beyond Now from Donny McCaslin. Donnie McCaslin here on The Blueprint with Wasoa from the album Beyond Now, brand new music. And Donnie joins me now. He's going to be performing at London Jazz Festival. Rich mix on the 15th. We should return to your involvement in David Bowie's Black Star album. The same band on your recording forms the core of that album. You mentioned him coming to see you in the tiny little 55 bar in New York City, but I wanted to revisit that whole concept of David sitting there and you know he's there and you're trying to do your best to maintain. That must have been some serious pressure.
Well, you know, the Let's Dance record was definitely part of the soundtrack of my youth. And when Black Star came out, I got an email from a buddy of mine in high school saying, man, do you remember we were dancing to that, you know, our senior prom? So that record was a big one for me, and I knew the collaboration with Pat Metheny, and I was sort of generally aware of his other hits. Hadn't really delved deeply into his discography, which I started to do in the months preceding recording Black Star, but at a certain point, I was emailing with him, and I stopped because I realized that that I didn't want to be too influenced by his back catalog, and because I knew that he wanted us to do what we do and what we had been doing together as a band for years, and I didn't want to be too influenced. So I actually waited until we kind of finished recording Black Star, and then I've really delved pretty heavily into his catalog, which is amazing.
I mean, David was a saxophonist himself in his early years, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did that ever come up in conversation?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, we talked about it was very general. I think we talked about you know, saxophone players that we loved. You know, I remember talking about Charlie Parker, because there's this radio program in New York City that plays his music very early in the morning, and I never used to hear it because I was always asleep until I had children, and now I'm awake early and I've got that on. So I remember talking about that and some other folks, and he told me this great story about his first teacher and how I think he would go over there on Saturday mornings for a while, and then years later he was doing a recording session, and the saxophone player arrives, and it's his teacher. And so he's now not David Jones, he's David Bowie now. And I think it was near the end of the session that the identification was, you know, the saxophone player, I guess it was Ronnie Ross.
Right.
And they made the connection, and David said, you know, I'll be there on Saturday for my next lesson. So that was, I love that story. It was so great.
How much creative freedom did you and the band have within the input of his music?
It was, we had a lot. I mean, that being said, you know, he sent me these demos for these songs, and the demos were always our starting place, you know, and before the first group of sessions, I had a few months to live with the songs, and, you know, I orchestrated them out for the different woodwinds I play, alto flute and a little bit of clarinet and some soprano sax, and I, you know, added some counterpoint and wrote some horn lines and, you know, to augment what he had already sent. So I think everything I did in terms of the woodwind stuff was kind of born out of what he had sent or inspired by that. And then for the rhythm section, all the elements were in place in the demos. And again, we sort of started with that. And then as we would get the track sort of set, then maybe Jason would say, oh, what about this keyboard sound? Or, you know, and I said, what about this, you know, added horn thing? And it was a really sort of open environment, but he really did kind of set the table with the music that he sent us. That being said, he was really affirmative of everything we tried, which was a great environment. Him and Tony were both really open to kind of whatever we wanted to try, and it was, you know, fun for us to have that sense of freedom. You know, again, it's not like we had to reinvent the wheel, because here's another example, Black Star, the song. You know, I remember when it first came out, people were like, you know, and Mark Giuliano's drum beat was revolutionary or whatever the word was, you know. And we were talking about it the other day. Really, what Mark is playing is just he was kind of copying what David had already programmed on the demo. Maybe Mark plays it a little differently or whatever, you know, but Mark brings his own thing to it. But, you know, the stuff was in place and David had put it in place. And, you know, there was just a great chemistry that we had as a group before, but he stepped right into that and was completely participating and pushing us with his energy. And I think vice versa, you know, it was just, you know, I just remember that first day I'm in my booth and I'm looking straight ahead and there's David's profile, you know, and he's got a guitar and he's singing and I'm thinking,
pinch yourself.
So exactly. Somebody, is this really happening? You know, and then looked over to me, what do you think, Donnie? You know, I said, this is awesome. That's what I think. No, but it was great. And it just felt like day after day that chemistry was there. And it just kind of kept going, and it was just, that was tremendous.
Were you as surprised by his death as everybody else, or did you have an inkling?
Well, I mean, the way I describe it is that, you know, it's not something I talk about much because of wanting to honor his, you know, his privacy and everything. But I would say that, like, you know, whatever was going on with him health-wise, whenever we worked together, when you were in the studio, he was like completely focused and completely on. It was amazing, you know, amazing. So no inkling of any health issues when we worked together. It was great, you know. And it was shocking and really so devastating emotionally when he passed. And I thought, you know, as hard as it was for me, I'd known him a year and a half. You know, I thought about those folks in his inner circle who I got to know a bit. And as a testament to the kind of person he was, to see the love they had for him, you know, I just was thinking, yeah, I mean, he's such a wonderful guy. I mean, these people have been with him for many years and just loved him. And it's, again, just a testament to who he was. And of course, thinking about his family and stuff, I mean, my heart was really going out to those folks.
What a wonderful chance to speak to you all about that. Donnie McCaslin, a fantastic album. It's called Beyond Now. Pushes the boundaries. We've played a couple. We'll play Bright Abyss to finish. And I thank you for coming by.
My pleasure. So great to be here.
The Blueprint with Chris Phillips.